بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في العارضين، جل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity to meet today. Our intention was to meet more often, but sometimes she says, Amina contacts sisters, but it seems that sisters are very busy, and maybe some sisters don't give priority to this type of meeting, so it's difficult to get all the sisters together. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to have you all today. But I would like also to request you to commit yourself to meet more often, because such meetings by themselves are very, very important. When believers come together, there are lots of blessings and barakah that come. And this is in addition to the decisions that we can make in such meetings and the programs that we can plan in such meetings. But just in the meetings of Mu'mineen, in Liqa'ul Mu'mineen, is a barakah. And so I really request sisters to be more committed to such meetings, inshallah. At least we should meet twice a year, but even twice a year I think is not enough. And inshallah, Khanum Haidarpour and Sister Zamina will be in touch with the sisters, and I'm going to inshallah request them to at least once a month also over phone to be in touch with all the sisters, so that we are at least in this way connected, but nothing would replace face-to-face encounters. So inshallah, at least twice a year we should also have such meetings. This is just the minimum. This is in addition to what we can plan as workshops, programs, etc. that Sheikh Jahangir said. Thank you for coming also. Some of you have come from long distances. Coming from South London by itself is sometimes a great struggle, but some of you have come from other towns, some of you have come from long distances. We have sister from Dublin, so we have someone from Wales, maybe that is also another country.
Glasgow.
So thank you to all of you, and thank you for sparing time to be today. As you know, one reason for holding this meeting today is because we have also a conference on Sahifa Sajjadiyya today in the Islamic Center, and inshallah after the program finishes here, so the sisters can go to the Islamic Center and take part in the conference on Sahifa Sajjadiyya. What I want to share with you is nothing new to you, as a reminder for myself and you. I want to make a few points. First of all, after the gift of Iman, after the blessing of being a mu'min, there is nothing like ilm, there is nothing like knowledge that can uplift a person, can make a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is very clear. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. So the first is about the faith. Allah raises the people who have faith among you, and then those who have been given knowledge. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ. And when it comes to those who have been given knowledge, Allah says darajat. So this is not one daraja. There are many, many different levels for ascension, depending on how much of that knowledge you have been given. Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi in Al-Mizan says, on the Day of Judgment, after Iman, then all the levels are based on knowledge. So basically, when people qualify for heaven by having Iman, then based on knowledge, they will be qualified for going higher and higher. So this knowledge, which is something which is given, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, this is different from the knowledge that you gain by studying and reading, but at least this is a prerequisite for that. This knowledge, which is light, which is given by Allah, which is projected by Allah in the heart of people, الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ يَقْذِفُهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, is something that gives life to our spirit. Without being engaged in learning, teaching, studying, discussing, our spiritual energy will be drained. We will be almost dying if we don't engage ourselves in learning. Especially for us talabah and seekers of knowledge, if a day comes in which we have not read something, we have not said something about knowledge, we have not reflected, we should really feel that day was a day of loss. That was a khasara. Because you have to be always engaged in one way or another of engagement with knowledge. Hadith says that Mu'min should not die unless either he is teaching the Quran or learning the Quran. So I hope inshallah our death also would come when we are either teaching or learning. This is very important. What we understand from the Quran and Hadith is that true knowledge, the knowledge which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge which is light, would be accompanied by wisdom, by hikmah, not conventional knowledge. There are people who are very learned, maybe they have lots of qualifications, PhDs, I don't know, ijtihad, you know, maybe they are great philosophers, but not necessarily they are hakim, they are wise. Because that knowledge that they have is not light. It's just something to fill the mind, but not to open the eyes of the heart. But if knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes with hikmah. Like the Quran. Quran is manifestation of Allah's knowledge and hikmah. As the Quran says itself, وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. Quran is hakim. Quran is full of wisdom. كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتٌ. So true knowledge, the knowledge which comes from Allah, comes with hikmah. What is hikmah? For me, this has been a question for many years. And this is why the very first series of lectures we started in the Shrine of Lady Ma'suma in English was on hikmah. And then in Islamic Center, you know, we had another series on hikmah. Because I'm thinking a lot about hikmah. And maybe something that you lack, you think about it more. So because I lack hikmah, so I'm very concerned about hikmah. So what is hikmah? Hikmah is not theoretical knowledge. Hikmah is a type of knowledge that shows you what you should do in your particular context. Hakim is not the one who knows a lot. Hakim is the one who knows what should be done right now in this particular context. We can have, for example, a person who has great knowledge of Islamic studies. Maybe he has studied 20, 30, 40 years non-stop, really learn it. But this doesn't mean that, for example, if he has been given opportunity to give one lecture or to run a class, he would be able to find out what would suit my audience the best. This is another thing. Maybe we bring a person who is by himself a library, a person who is like a team of scholars, he has all the different, you know, expertise, but he would not be necessarily a good guide for the community. We need hikmah. Sometimes, you know, I use this example. You can ask, for example, a scholar, I want to make some sadaqiyah jariyah. I have some money and I love to do something to remain after me, so that inshallah it will be for me a sadaqiyah jariyah. What should I do? So, but a scholar would say, perhaps, there is nothing like making a masjid. Masjid is very important. So we should make a masjid. Or maybe another person says, we should make a hawza. And many of these people who give you these answers, they don't even ask you, what do you need in your town? Just based on the studies of the hadith, there are so much sawab for making a masjid, so much sawab for making a place of learning. But an alim who is hakim, first make sure that he understands your context. What do you already have in your town? What do you lack in your town? Maybe we already have tens of masjid, but we don't have any school. Maybe we have many houses, but not masjid. Maybe we don't have hospital. You know, just very simple example. So, knowledge is something, hikmah is another thing. Ulama, muballighin, muballighat, and in a very special way, leaders of the community, must have knowledge, but I think more than knowledge, they need hikmah. They need wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, knowledge cannot help you. If you have wisdom, you can benefit from the knowledge of the scholars. Hikmah is the key. If someone is given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think it comes with hikmah. But if it is through conventional methods, it may not come with hikmah. We have to look for it. In those series on hikmah, I have mentioned some of the things that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have mentioned in order to gain hikmah. So you can prepare yourself. Although hikmah is a gift, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So it's given, hikmah is given, is a gift. But there are ways to qualify yourself for the gift. So many gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come with preparation. You have to qualify yourself for a gift. Like for example, I say, if you study this book, I ask you a few questions and then I give you a gift. So although it's a gift, but it has some condition. So in those series, whether in series in Qom or London, I mentioned some of the things that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have said about hikmah and how to achieve hikmah. I would like to mention two aspects of hikmah now. Those who are interested, they can inshallah refer to those lectures. One important aspect of hikmah is humbleness. Humbleness is very important. A person who is arrogant, A person who doesn't feel that he or she has lots of limitations, a person who has always ready-made answers, this person cannot be wise, cannot be hakim. A person who is humble knows his limits. He says, this is something that I have to think about it. This is something that I have to inquire about it. This is something that we need to discuss. We need to consult. Then, inshallah, there is possibility that Allah may give you hikmah. But if you think that you understand everything, why Allah should give you hikmah? You are saying to Allah, I am fine. Like the son of Nuh, who said, I am fine. So when you say, I am fine, then you close the gates of Allah's mercy and blessings to yourself. Hikmah and tawazu are very much connected. Imam Kazim alayhi salam said, كَذَلِكَ الْحِكْمَةُ تُعْمَرُ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُتَوَاضِعِ. Wisdom can develop in the heart of the humble. This is very important. وَلَا تُعْمَرْ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُتَكَبِّرِ الْجَبَّارِ. Someone who is arrogant and is like a tyrant who says, I know everything, I can control everything, I can rule everything, I can plan everything, I know better than others, then hikmah would not develop in his heart. لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ جعل التواضع آلة العقل. They're very beautiful. Humbleness is the tool, is the instrument for aql, for intellect. Maybe you think these are not related to each other. We need to have, you know, high IQ. No, IQ is not enough. Actually, if you have IQ, you become humble. Those who separate IQ from akhlaq, they don't have good IQ. Humbleness is the key for your proper function of aql, for hikmah. وَجَعْلَ التَّكَبُّرْ آلَةَ الْجَهْلِ. And arrogance is the key, is the instrument, is the tool for ignorance. Whether it be ignorance in the form of not knowing, or in the form of knowing and not acting rationally. As you know, jah is sometimes not to know and sometimes not to be rational. So, we talabe, we people who are involved in tabligh, we need to work on our humbleness. If you see your humbleness is increasing by increase of your experience, by increase of your age, by increase of the people who are listening to you, alhamdulillah. If your humbleness is not increasing, or if na'uzubillah is decreasing, then this shows that we have gone to the wrong direction, totally wrong direction. What we are doing is fake tabligh, not real tabligh. We are promoting ourselves. Not we are promoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you promote Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this in this process your servitude would not increase? If our servitude is not increasing, it means that we are not promoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, tawazu is very important. The other thing which is very important for hikmah is to benefit from the opinions of other people. To let their aql join your aql, their experiences join your experiences, their ideas join your ideas. This is very important. If you are doing tabligh in a city or in part of one city, and there are other sisters who are doing tabligh, if you don't feel that you must be in touch with each other, and consult each other and share your ideas with each other, this is lack of hikmah. This is arrogance. This is underestimation of great responsibility that we have undertaken. If you think that no, you need to ask, you need to check, you need to inquire, you need to consult, then this shows that you have understood the greatness of your responsibility and you are humble and you are a wise person. So for us, such meetings, in addition to the spiritual benefit that they have, to the barakah they have, is very, very important. These are not just some formal meetings. They don't have unity. That is something that is a great damage, a great destruction. So we have to be very, very united. And then you don't wonder why Shaitan would not be doing everything possible to keep us divided or at least scattered. If Shaitan can make us fight each other, that would be it for Shaitan. If Shaitan cannot make us fight each other, I'd say boycott each other. Don't bother about others. Do what you want. So we have to work together. We have to be united. We have to be that bunyan marsus that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers, that they are bunyan marsus. They are strong and well-built construction. Many times I use this example. I say, imagine if I have one lorry of bricks, and I unload them in a land that belongs to me. What is the benefit of these bricks when they are just in bulk? But if I bring an architect and give me a design, then a builder that puts them together, then it becomes a house, then it becomes a hosa, then it becomes a masjid. But just bricks, what can they do? They just can make dirt and dust and, you know, wasted space. Mu'mineen need to be put together and build the palace of Iman, which is community of Ahlul Bayt. The castle of Iman, which is the community of Ahlul Bayt. And this is our responsibility. So we have to make this something as a personal commitment, also something that we all commit ourselves to work together, to unite ourselves, and inshallah to unite our community. I hope inshallah we meet more often. I have many things to say, but I think I should stop, let you discuss and, you know, share your comments and ideas. But please be available whenever you are invited for a meeting. I know you are busy, but take this as a priority. Take something urgent, so that inshallah, if we meet more often, then we can go into the details and we can start inshallah planning something and implementing inshallah that plan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His unlimited support and guidance for all of you inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you with your personal life, family life, and with the great work that you are doing by continuing the path of Lady Fatima to Zahra Salamullah Alayha, Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, Lady Masuma Salamullah Alayha. May those ladies be your Shafi inshallah on the Day of Judgment, and your inshallah source of inspiration and guidance in dunya. And may inshallah Imam Zaman alayhi salam be smiling whenever he receives the reports of your actions. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.